I've been a nurse for 40 years. I should know how to be a patient. So I thought, okay, I'll be a perfect patient. I'll follow all the instructions. You know, so I took my medications. I went to all my appointments. And there was more and more of them all the time. And I followed the instructions to stay out of the sun because that might damage my DNA. And I did this for about a year and I just got sicker and sicker and sicker and it wasn't working. And there was this moment about a year ago when I was just lying in bed. I couldn't really do much else. I was felt like a prisoner in my bedroom and was my cell. And by this time, I couldn't even read. I was just scrolling through comments of all the online lupus support groups that I had joined all around the world. And most of the comments were really sad. And then I came to one and she said, she looked pretty healthy. And she said, about going outside, so far so good. I put on my hat and sunscreen and off I go. I thought, what? So I was mad at myself and I don't know, everybody else. So I just threw on my hat and sunscreen and I walked outside in my backyard and then I just started feeling lighter and better and more relief. And then I was just like powered up. Like it was just like this new life force. It was just like I'd already died and I got a new life. Like in those computer games, Pac-Man, you know how you have to die and then you get a new life. That's the only way I could think of it. And so I was completely powered up. And when I got back, I thought, what the heck happened to me out there? So that's how it all started.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Have you ever heard of the saying, healthy tree, healthy me? Well, I hadn't until I met Verla Fortier. Verla writes about the scientific evidence that shows time spent close to trees, grass, and shrubs prevents illness and helps those with chronic illness feel better. Verla Fortier is a retired nurse with a master's in health science and a retired professor of nursing. She lives in Pine Falls, Manitoba, Canada, on the edge of the Borelli Forest. Fortier began her research in biology, physics, chemistry, forestry medicine, psychology, health geography, neuroscience, and more to help her with her own lupus and arthritis, but found the results too good to keep to herself. Verla takes you on her personal journey with the striking research that changed her life. Verla is an author of the book, Take Back Your Outside Mindset, Live Longer, Prevent Dementia, and Control Your Chronic Illness. In the book, Verla shares what she learned about developing an outside mindset as the easiest and most effortless way to feel better as you age. If you have an unsettled mind, are in pain, have limited energy, time, or funds, listen in, whether you live in the city or the country. Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. And on the line, I have Verla Fortier. How are you, Verla?
I'm well, thank you, Anne.
That's terrific. And you've got quite a story to share with us today. So we start off finding out where in the world are you?
I'm in Canada. And my little story started about 3 years ago when I was 63 years old and really looking forward to retiring. I was a professor of nursing at a large university in the city. So I was looking forward to retiring to my small hometown. And then something happened that completely changed the course of my life. Would you like me to go into that? Or?
Yes, it's fascinating. So you were looking forward to your retirement. So what happened to you that changed what you thought you were going to do?
Well, I had sold my house. As I said, I was getting ready to move, and I had my long little to-do list. And one of them was to go to see my doctor for the last time before I left town and get a cream for my little rash that I had on my face. So I went in there, and she is lovely, and she was taking a long time, and she found more and more rashes, and she was looking on my scalp, and I started to have a bad feeling. And then when she sort of reached for my hands and looked into my eyes and said, "I need to tell you something," I knew that I was in for some bad news. And she said, "We'll do a biopsy, we'll send the blood work, but we're pretty sure we're looking at systemic lupus." And I don't know if you know what that is.
No, I don't know anyone that's had, was it systemic lupus?
It's systemic lupus. So what it is, it's an autoimmune disease that affects your whole system. So it affects your organs, your heart, lungs, kidneys, liver, and there's really no cure for it. So, you know, I was just floored. The rug was just pulled out from under me. I was not prepared for this information.
It was a tremendous shock for you.
It really was. It really was. And I thought, I got to get a strategy for this. So I thought, well, you know, I've been a nurse for 40 years. I should know how to be a patient. So I thought, okay, I'll be a perfect patient. I'll follow all the instructions. You know, so I took my medications. I went to all my appointments. And there was more and more of them all the time. And I followed the instructions to stay out of the sun because that might damage my DNA. And I did this for about a year, and I just got sicker and sicker and sicker, and it wasn't working. And there was this moment about a year ago when I was just lying in bed. I couldn't really do much else. I was felt like a prisoner in my bedroom was my cell. And by this time, I couldn't even read. I was just scrolling through comments of all the online lupus support groups that I had joined all around the world. And most of the comments were really sad. And then I came to one, and she looked pretty healthy. And she said, "About going outside, so far so good. I put on my hat and sunscreen and off I go." I thought, what? So I was mad at myself, and I don't know, everybody else. So I just threw on my hat and sunscreen, and I walked outside in my backyard. And then I just started feeling lighter and better and more relief. And then I was just like powered up. It was just like this new life force. It was just like I'd already died and I got a new life. Like in those computer games, Pac-Man, you know how you have to die and then you get a new life. Uh-huh. The only way I could think of it. And so I was completely powered up. And when I got back, I thought, what the heck happened to me out there? So that's how it all started.
Wow, that's really interesting. And I see you've got a quite healthy tree, healthy me. But to discover this, you must have went through a lot of research.
Well, I went right to the, you know, there's a lot of stuff on the internet and floating around, and I just didn't want to go there. I just wanted to use my nursing skills and go right to the original research. And so I went to the peer-reviewed research, and I thought, is there something that is in the research about trees and health? And that's where I found it. And it was just fascinating, really compelling.
It's amazing. So the research, what is it actually called?
Well, I'm calling it green space research, or it's outside research. And the name of my book is Take Back Your Outside Mindset. So it's research that looks at the effects of grass, trees, and shrubs on your health.
Right. I've heard before that you're supposed to go outside and connect with the outdoors for at least 10 minutes a day and take your shoes off and walk barefooted. So this must be an extension of that.
Yes. Not everybody knows about that. And that is it. I mean, that's a big, big part of it. But I'd heard it, but I wanted to believe it in my heart and soul. And I had to go to the direct research so that I really could write it down for myself, believe it, remind myself every day. I did the research for myself. And then it was, you know, then I wanted to share it.
Okay. So 20 years ago, would you have written about this?
20 years ago, well, maybe 15 years ago, I had this perfect little life in the city. I had a husband, two cute little boys, and till the day that my ex-husband walked out the door of our home and left me. The youngest was in kindergarten, and I looked into their little eyes and knew that I needed to keep them by their friends, in their house, and in their neighborhood. So that's when I was a senior manager in the hospital then. And so I went next door to the university and picked up that extra job. And then I just focused completely on everybody else's needs, what everybody else needed me to do. And that was fine. That's what I did. If I had any thoughts and emotions, I just swept them underneath the carpet and off I went. Probably there was a lot under there. I found out later there was. But
So was there any illness in your family?
Oh, yes. Thanks for asking. Yes, I was afraid. When I got this diagnosis, I was really afraid because my mom had dementia. And my dad died of complications of multiple sclerosis, which is also an autoimmune disease. So that's my fears automatically went there, and so did my emotions. So I was pretty wired for hopelessness when I got this diagnosis.
That sounds like you weren't in a very good headspace. Dementia, that's something that it seems as though it's growing. There's more and more people, I suppose, as we're aging, more of us are aging, dementia's coming up. They reckon it's going to be the biggest disease in the world for older people. So how can getting outside and being in the green space help prevent dementia?
There's two pieces to this information. The first piece I found was at Stanford University, done by Gregory Bradford and his team. It was in 2015, and the first piece was that they were defining the thinking that they were going to study. And they said that it's that broken record thinking that goes around in your head, that at least went around in my head, like, why do I, you know, why did I get divorced? Why is this happening to me? I'm too old for this. My body's breaking down. What if I can't get through the next, you know? All that kind of thinking was always going around in my head. And I thought this was me. And what they did was they said, no, there's a name for this. It's a thing. And we can track it. It goes to this part of your brain that I think of as the Heartbreak Hotel part of my brain. And the blood flows there. And so they were interested in studying, well, what happens when you go outside to this broken record thinking? So they sent a group out to the, you know, city streets with cement buildings. And then they sent another group out to grass, trees, and shrubs. And they found that the people that went out to the grass, trees, and shrubs, that no blood went to the Heartbreak Hotel. So their broken record thinking completely disappeared. There was no activity there. It automatically went away. Whereas the people that were on the city streets, the broken record thinking went to the Heartbreak Hotel and the music just got louder and louder and louder. So there was no relief. So this, I thought, was this was big for me because I thought that I was those thoughts, and I was liberated by the fact that I wasn't. And then I went further into the research and found that this broken record thinking really can lead to cognitive decline, like loss of memory, loss of ability to pay attention, concentrate, problem solve, and learn new things. So because it uses up so much of our brain space and bandwidth in our heads just, brains just don't get a break. And so that broken record thinking leads to cognitive decline, and that's what dementia is. Then I thought, well, what do trees have to do with this? And so these very same researchers that looked at the broken record thinking asked the very same things, only there was another one at University of Chicago, Professor Mark Berman, who was an engineer and also a psychologist. And they all looked at this and they said, well, does this broken record thinking, what does it do for our cognitive skills? And they found that going outside increased our short and long-term memory, increased our ability to concentrate, problem solve, keep track of things, and learn new things. And it just happens instantly, automatically. There's a scientific name for it. but it's real and it's proven. So that's where the link is.
That's absolutely amazing that just by spending time outside, you can change your thinking and your health.
Yeah, it's just so exciting.
So what have you found out about this, about being around trees and grass and shrubs that makes us live longer?
The living longer part was my other, like, I used the research to just dive into my fears. As we said, my mom had dementia, so that's why I was so interested in that. My dad died young. And then I looked into the research on lupus, on living longer. And people with lupus, women with lupus live 22 years shorter than the general population. So I was really scared. So I thought, well, you know, all these fears that I'm not talking to anybody about, I'll just look up myself. So that's what I did on living longer. And there was just in the last couple of years at in Canada and in the U.S., big national and international studies showed that people that live within 15 minutes of grass, trees, and shrubs live 12% longer than the general population, period. And that's it.
Wow. Well, I'm pleased I live on a farm. I've been spending too much time in front of a computer, but I'm going to make sure that I take more breaks and go outside more. Mm-hmm. It's just nice even sitting on the veranda and just looking out at the trees and the grass.
Absolutely. There's value in that.
So why aren't we hearing more about this from our doctors and nurses?
You know, I wondered that too as I was screwed up my courage to ask my doctors. I said, you know, I'm feeling better when I go outside. And they would kind of get quiet and shift their gaze and then start talking to me about diet and exercise. And now I completely understand that because this is outside is not in their medical guidelines just yet. And so they're not prepared to talk about it. Although now I tell them about the book and they all want a copy.
I suppose they've been trained in how to dispense medicine.
Well, the research is in so many different disciplines that it's not in medical science. Like it's in physics, geometry, biology, botany. Like the people that did the research on living longer, they are health geographers. So they follow people around for like 40 years where they live by their zip codes and postal codes. And then they measure with, NASA satellite technology. They say, okay, you're living here, how many trees, and they can zoom in with the satellite technology, how many trees and shrubs they have in their place. And then they look at how long they live. So it's, you know, it's pretty neat that the work is being done at the universities because it's so thorough and they have access to lots of public resources. Then the drawback to that is that we don't really hear about it as much. You know, you've heard about it, but their jobs at universities are to produce academic papers for each other and build the body of academic knowledge. It's not to get the word out to us, right?
So it seems as though it's a secret. It's not in the news that much, is it?
No, it's not. It's not like it should. And I think mainly it's because there's no money in live trees. There's no company that's going to really promote this because there's nothing to sell, right? There's nothing, no commodity.
Right. So what do you say to people that get up early and leave for work and when they get home it's dark? So when they're going to work it's dark and they just work and they don't get outside, what can they do?
Oh, yeah. There's research that's quite old, but it like was done by Ulrich. And it's just that looking outside or looking at an image of nature has huge effects on our central nervous system. There's one great study that he did. It's called the hospital window study. I don't know if you've heard of it, but they had two groups of patients that had gastrointestinal surgery. One group looked out at a cement wall and the other group looked out at trees. And the ones that looked out at trees had a shorter length of stay, less pain, less medication, and just less symptoms, healthier. And then that's been replicated and replicated. So those people, that's why I called the book Take Back Your Outside Mindset. I was going to call it Step Outside, but you know, if you're just thinking about the outside and trying to look at, you know, from your windowsill, maybe, you know, count the number of birds or look at the, notice one new thing. And like a lot of us with chronic illness, we can't get outside. You know, we just have days that we can't. So just being aware of it is important. Yeah.
It's really interesting because I have been studying about the mind and the brain and about living in the past and how you can create your future by living in your future or thinking about the future. So what you're saying about tricking yourself, that you can convince yourself that you're in a different place. So if you have the pictures of the outside world there, your brain doesn't know any different.
So exactly.
Right.
It's the same thinking. Yes. Yeah.
That's really, really fascinating. So how does this work for controlling chronic disease work?
Yeah, so that was my main interest because I didn't want my chronic disease to kind of take over. There's a lot of research on this that I put in the book, but the one piece I like the best was done by University of Glasgow Professor Paul Mitchell. He's an epidemiologist. And this was just, he produced this work last year. And he showed that the first 1 to 3 minutes only that we're outside automatically elevates our mood and increases our self-esteem. Just like that, like 3 minutes. And this is particularly helpful for those with chronic illness because we typically have low self-esteem because we feel so different than everybody else. If you just look at that self-esteem literature and chronic illness, if you have a low self-esteem, your symptoms are higher, and higher self-esteem, lower symptoms like lower shortness of breath, pain, and stuff like that. So the direct relationship.
Mm. Well, the chances are we'll have to think ourselves better.
doesn't take long.
No. So how do you work with people? How have you helped people?
Yesterday, we just started with the seniors in my little small town, a little outside group. So I've got this book and it has a workbook that goes with it. So we're using the workbook and then we're using urban walking poles so that we can, because that's something I use to get outside and keep my balance better. I don't know if you know Nordic walking poles, but they kind of help me. But what we do is we go through the research. We meet once a week. They talk about, we remind each other. We just open it up to a page and we talk about it and then we're aware of it. And we notice how we feel before we go outside. Like, are we feeling forgetful before we go outside? Now that we're in, are we feeling less forgetful, less sad? So we have a few very simple emotions before and after. And then I also take our blood pressure and our pulse before and after because there's usually a change there too.
Amazing. And how long do we need to devote to going outside and being outside?
Well, just like you said, Anne, in the beginning, not many people know that it's like 10 minutes a day. So it's 5 hours a month. That works out to about 10 minutes a day. And that's what the Finnish researchers showed with large groups of people, big studies, and they said that's the minimum amount that they could see a restoration in the brain and changes in the brain function.
It sounds like a small thing to do for a big benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you have any tips you want to share with us before we finish up?
Sure. There's three things that I like to say is that if you see trees, just walk close to them. Notice one new thing out there that even if it's old, you've seen it a million times, try to just pick up something a little bit different that immediately puts you in the present and reinforces what you're doing. And then take a couple of deep breaths because there's health-giving things in those tree aerosols, and some of them are antibiotics, antivirals, anti-inflammatories. There's a lot in those aerosols. And that's because trees can't run away. That's what they put out to protect themselves. So we can just move into their space and get all that benefit.
Oh, that's it. Very, very interesting. I haven't heard that before. So on the Retire Well, Retire Happy show today, we have been listening to Verla Fortier, and Verla is the author of the book Take Back Your Mindset, Live Longer, Prevent Dementia, and Control Your Chronic Illness. So if the listeners wanted to find out more about you or where to get your book, where would they go?
Oh, thank you, Anne. They would go to treesmendas, all one word, .com. And there's my website there. And again, the name of my book is Take Back Your Outside Mindset, and that's on Amazon. And on my website is a free download for a 30-day outside mindset challenge. And there's lots of free worksheets in there that discuss what we've talked about today. And then I also have a free ditch inside for outside Facebook group where we work together on the outside mindset challenge.
Well, thank you very much. It's been fascinating, and it's just absolutely amazing how you can change your life by giving up 10 minutes of your day and going outside.
Oh, thank you very much, Anne. It's been my pleasure.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.